right, praise God. God's good, amen? And all the time, God is good, that's right. That's good. Well, welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Mike Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor here at Christ Community Church. We also go by C3 for short because of the three C's, obviously. So, but it's 2 years. It's 2 years since we planted this church. So isn't God good, right? It's not about us, right? It's always about Jesus. In fact, if you ever decide to drop in into one of our leadership meetings, we have a mission and vision for the church, but the unspoken mission and vision of the church is what? The short version, Stephen, is what? It's not about you. It's about Jesus. You know why? Because whenever two people are gathered, Jesus is there in the midst. Whenever two or three people gather, there's always conflict too, even when you're serving in the church. Amen? And those of you who've been doing ministry for a while, you know that because we're just... That's why what we're going to learn today and the theme of this new series we're going to kick off is loving the church, right? So I'm excited today, number one, because it's our anniversary. It's 2 years. We're a toddler church. Not quite out of diapers yet, but I think we're getting there. But we're growing slowly but surely. God is good. But because we're starting off a new sermon series today, and it's entitled, I Love My Church. Amen? And there's a reason why, because God came, right, not just to, I said it when I was up there on the stage for worship, God didn't come for religion, he came for relationship. And so what we're going to learn over the next 4 weeks, actually, including today, it's 5 weeks, is how God wants us to love the church and why that is so different in the culture that we live in today, where, we've got honest with you, who's the culture that we live in today, the tagline is, and our official is, I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind, right? So, but the church is asking, what Jesus is asking, says, I love me some Jesus, yeah? And he's always on my mind, right? And then from the overflow, we can do what he's calling us to do. Because this darn flesh, isn't the flesh, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. The flesh wants to, it's like that constant battle, right? What the flesh wants and what the spirit wants. But we're going to be spending some time focused on what God wants us to do by loving the church. Listen, at this time, you know, I want to just give you guys a quick, I'm not going to go through the full history. You know, we planted the church 2 years ago prior to, we did about a year's worth of prep and training, and God has been so faithful. And I'm excited about what he's going to do. We're a small church. We're, you know, you guys, I'm going to go over the mission and the vision as part of the church. It's always been about Jesus. It's always been about us being authentic in our worship to him and our service to him. I'm also going to tell you that we're not a perfect church. Guess why? Why is that? Because we're human, because there's people here. And the joke we'll say is if you find the perfect church, don't go there because you're going to mess it up. I'm kidding, right? And so we're going to talk a little bit more. What does it mean to give yourself up and to say, yes, you know what? I want to belong to a church body. I want to belong to this family. It means a little bit of, you know, the other part is like I always say, it means a little challenging what we see as the norms in the culture. The norms in the culture is, let me show you all the good things in my life. I say the Instagram version of you, right? Where what is it? What's the, I never, this is not a guy thing where you take a picture and you're like this. I don't get that, ladies. And if you do that, I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, it's like, okay, I don't know. Your husband better be on the other side of that one. I don't get it. Or your food, your best life when you're at Disneyland or all the best restaurants. But I always say, what about the other side of your life? Well, the side of, you know, like, everybody has the unfiltered side. Yeah, yeah, take the filters off. Let's see what you really look like. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because listen, when it comes to the things of God, God is not interested in the Instagram version of you. Yeah? Jesus didn't come for this version of you on the cross. He didn't come for that. He came for the worst side of you. Yeah, does that make sense? He came to save you from yourself. And the church body is the same way. Listen, the church body, it means being open. It means say like, hey, I'm struggling with this thing. I need help. Like I need, you know, the church is where you have to be real. Out there in the world, go ahead and be fake. But in the church, we need to be real. And so you're going to find one of the things about our church is that we've always said, let's be authentic in our worship and service. I'll always say this too. Listen, you need to know our hearts. Our hearts are for Jesus and for you. And if something ever happens where we let you down, hey, let's talk about it. Right? Let's see this thing. Let's work it out. Let's pray about it. Yeah? So that's a little bit about it. That's the introduction, right, to this series. But you guys need to know that there's a lot of people that do a lot of work behind the scenes at this church, namely my wife, hours and hours. And I always say, like, listen, I get up here and I get to tell jokes and I get to sing on worship only because I always say behind every man who's serving the Lord and hopefully doing it okay, there's a woman alongside him that is helping, that is supporting him, that is carrying him. That's my wife. So thank you, Stephanie, for all that you do for the church. I'll be quite honest with you. Before planning the church, we didn't have a lot of, I don't call them arguments, disagreements. You know what our disagreements are about? Right? So listen, we are dialed into this thing. So keep praying for your leaders. Keep praying for people who serve. Listen, when you're stepping forward to do something in faith for God, you think the enemy is going to say, oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah, let me roll out the red carpet for you. No. Right? So God has been good. And I want to thank Stephanie so much and my family, the kids and everybody that helps. It is a family thing to serve God, right? And my brother's family, the Garcias, right, they've been there from day one. I can't thank them enough. I've said this even when we planted the church and at our one-year anniversary. The greatest privilege that I have is to serve God in this capacity. And so I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for all of you, right, for saying yes. You know, I want to be a part of this. And I said the church is the platform where you get to exercise God's given. The Holy Spirit has given you gifts, talents, and abilities where you get to exercise them. And we get to mobilize them together, right? And so I want to say thank you for joining us on this journey. It means a lot to us. Amen? And Stephen, right? I don't know if you guys know, Stephen, he had a 2-year perfect attendance until last week. That's nothing to sneeze at. The setup and teardown, right? To be here at 7:15, 7:30. I usually get here 7:35-ish to set up and tear down. But listen, why do we do it? Because we love Jesus, right? And we love you, the church body. And Jesus went to the cross. We can get up early and pull a trailer, not a big deal, right? Jesus went to the cross. We can set up and tear down chairs, not a big deal, right? But it's such a privilege to be able to serve in this capacity. So if you've been part of this journey and to the team that I call the leadership team, thank you so much, right? It means a lot to us. Now, here's the other thing for the rest of you guys. It's not just our church. It's your church. This is your invitation where it says, like, man, God has called me into this body, and we're going to learn more about it as part of the series, to contribute and to be a part of it, right? Outside in the world, you don't belong. In God's family, you belong. Amen? Awesome. All right, so we're going to be spending 5 weeks talking about this campaign. It's called I Love My Church. And I had this one, the series, kind of my pocket for a little bit, but I wanted to wait a little bit until we talked about this in our planning over the summer. And so we're excited that we're going to be going over this material over the next 5 weeks. But before we start, let me ask you guys a couple of questions. So I'm going to show some images on the screen, and then you're going to tell me what is your first thoughts when you think about, when you see that screen, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Anybody? Long lines waiting. What else? going broke, right? Every year it's like, what? Like, I didn't. Every year the taxes and your registration goes up more, yes? I remember when you used to actually go in, you have to go in. Now you can't even go. Like, they go, you got to go to Save Mart, pay your tags. He says, you would like wait for the last day. You guys know that? And I told Stephanie, I said, what's the point of this beautiful new DMV that they have in Reedley? You can't even go there? Like, it's like, what do they do there now? But the DMV, so long lines and waiting. All right, what's the next one? What do you guys think about this one? Pain. Oh. Man, you guys, pain. That's the person's having a, I did a search for images, root canal. All right, that's painful, right? It doesn't matter how many times they numb you. You're like, oh, this hurts. Don't you have any more, like something stronger? And then sometimes the dental assistant is like clumsy and it's all like grabbing your cheek. Did that ever happen to you guys? You're like, hey, like pay attention. I'm right here. Like that hurts. Anybody have that tiki? Not just me. I was like, hey, like, hold it right here, lady. I want to grab the tube for her. It's all sucking my cheek out. That's what I think about there with the root canal. Next image. All right. Home Depot. What do you guys think about this one? Oh, I knew this one was going to be mixed, right? Okay, where are my Home Depot fans at? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, some people are like really happy. Like, yeah, Home Depot. All right, projects, right? Okay, now where are the people that don't, like Home Depot are like, you leave me at home. Yeah, see? Like half and half. I knew this one was going to be interesting. So I love me some Home Depot and Lowe's. You know why? I love the way the wood smells. That's my favorite thing. I was like, oh, it's so good. It smells. My wife hates it. I'm like, I got to go to Home Depot. You want to go? No. I'm Alex. Yeah, it's a true story. So it's a mixed bag, right? Some people like to go there. Some people don't like to go there. But listen, the reason why we're talking about this is like, okay, now look around you. Or you had different emotions about how you went to the DMV, you went to the dentist, you went to Home Depot. Now look around, right? When you think about when you go to church, what's the thought that comes to your mind? Joy, fellowship, peace, right? Friends, worship. Just, isn't it different, right? How we, like when church should bring that kind of emotion up for us. And listen, if you're here and you have a church wound, then I'm sorry, right? Listen, I always say this. We're doing the best that we can. People are not perfect, right? But God is good. I told you guys last week when I went to a church retreat, there was my favorite quote. There was so much information that was given to us at that retreat. But my favorite line was from that 429 church. They stood up there in the front. And they said, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. You guys need to know, we suck, but God doesn't. That was my favorite line from the whole retreat. I'm going to remember that one. We suck, but God doesn't, right? And so if you've been at a church where you've been hurt, listen, don't judge God on the execution of it. You got to see God for who he is, amen? And know him. He wants to have a relationship with you. And when you get God, right? And so that's what we're going to study on. And again, it was just meant to kind of start off the introduction by going to different places. But when we think about going to church, we shouldn't think about it the way that I thought about it when I was a kid. Do I have to go? So boring. I hate it. Or me and my brother would sit in the front pews, right? Right. My mom would just say, sit right here in front where I can see, right here. Right. And then they had this tactic. Parents, pay attention. Your kids are out of line. The little hair on the back of your head right here. Aye. All right. All right. Or the ear, like the ear pull, like ninja, like quiet. Right. That's why I don't know if you notice, if you look at my brother, his left ear is a little bit longer than the right ear. I don't know why. Maybe my mom had something to do. I don't know. She's in the back over there. That was the side that he would sit on. So the ear was... I made that up, bro. I don't know. Now he's going to go home and look at himself in the mirror. He's like, it is longer. See? I told you. That was the Holy Spirit telling me. Oh, yeah. See, now, yeah, there you go. The wife now. But to whisper sweet things in there, you know, sweet nothings. Amen. Isn't God good? Well, we're going to talk about what it means then for us as a body to love God and to love the church. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be reading out of chapter 12. And we're going to be reading verses 12 to 31. And then we're going to stop. We're going to do a couple of the key points there. And then we're going to move on to 1 Corinthians 13. But let me know when you guys are there. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. You guys there? Yeah. And you can always follow along on the screen. But let's go ahead and dive in. Unity and diversity in the body. And verse 12 says, just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form the body, so it is with Christ. For we are baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be reason to stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Right? And it continues, says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Right? Actually, let's stop there. Let's stop there, because that's already a big chunk, right? Let's stop there, because I would say we need some time to digest it. We need to chew. We don't want to Ruth Chris steak and then choke on that, right? So let's break it down. So what is Paul talking to us about? Paul, the context is writing the church to the church at Corinth. There's a lot of divisions. If you read the first part of it, he's doing a lot of this in the first part of 1 Corinthians. You guys remember that? Of course you do. Because you're not only the most beautiful church, you're also the smartest one in all of Sanger, okay? Remember that. So after he gives them a finger wagging, he starts to correct them a little bit, right? By telling them that, listen, there's unity and diversity in the body. But what we find there, and this is the first fill in the blank for today's message, we love each other through the unity of the Holy Spirit. The unity of the Holy Spirit. And what Paul is talking about is that all the parts of the body, now he's just something that we all have, you know, a body, we have hands, we have feet, we have eyes, ears, and they all come together to form the body. And we all need each other. The body is interdependent. I don't know if you know that. And so we're filled with the same Holy Spirit. That's how we have unity. I've heard this said before, and actually it's Francis Chan who said it. He always says, listen, you're never going to encounter, and he was talking about relationship. He was doing a relationship series with his wife, Lisa. And he says, you won't ever find divorce in two believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit who are seeking God out. Why? He says, because they're both filled with the same Spirit of God. And they're both loving each other. So the more that you are filled and you're seeking God out, that's why I say, listen, I'm not, side note, yes, relationships are difficult, but through unity of the Holy Spirit, right, there's togetherness, there's a oneness about it. And so the same thing happens in the church. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we can see above some of the things that, you know, the petty things that sometimes like, oh, the person didn't say hi to me today. Right? The little things that sometimes will get in the way, right? Does that sound familiar to anybody? I think I mentioned to you guys, not here, but at a previous church where I used to serve, a brother didn't talk to me for like 6 months because he thought I dissed him. When people say still diss, that's old, huh? That's like from the 90s. Like, who says that? I don't even know. Yeah. He went to shake my hand and I didn't see him apparently. And he didn't talk to me for 6 months. And I was like, and then he's like, hey, I need to talk to you. I was like, what's going on, brother? He's like, I've been talking to you. I was like, yeah, you know, I've been busy, but you sure. What happened? He's like, one day I went to shake your hand and you turned around and you went like this. I said, I've never done that motion in my life. But like, I'm sorry, brother. Like, why didn't you just come tell me? Like, you know, you need to know my heart. Like, I'm sorry. Oh, you didn't do it on purpose? No. Like, he's like, oh, okay, we're good then. I'm like, 6 months later, bro. Like, come on. But we love each other through the unity of the Holy Spirit. Every part of the body is important, right? And so that's what we're saying is like, we're not just one person. When you see like the team here, okay. It's different members, right? They bring different talents and abilities to serve the body. And we're all in, and every one of us is important to the body of Christ. Let's keep reading. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Where our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put together the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part of it suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts, healing of helps and of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gift healing? Do all speak in tongue? Do all interpret? It says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Amen? What's he talking about there? He was telling them that there was a division in the church in Corinth, right? That they had gifts, talents, and abilities, that they were all different. What Paul is telling us is that every part of the body, every person is important. Why? Because they're gifted by the Holy Spirit with different types of spiritual gifts, right? God has equipped me with some certain gifts and abilities. Stephen, different gifts and abilities, right? Jesse, Valeria, Virginia, JD, all of us have gifts and talents and abilities that are given to us by God to edify the church, right? And so the church body is where you come to exercise that. Like if you ever, you know, what is that? Isn't there like a black and white thing where there's a hand that's walking around by itself? Is that the Addams Family? There's a hand thing? Is that what it's called? Okay, if you ever see that, that would be scary. Okay, right? That would be like heart attack. That would freak you out, right? Okay. God has given you gifts and talents and abilities, not so that you can be like the hand, the hand thing going, doing it. Look at me, my hand. I was like, whoa, that's scary. You belong to the body, right? You need to be connected. This is why the church matters, because you need a place to be connected. Like, imagine, get over here, hand. I got a place for you over here. Put that chair down. Set up and tear that chair down, hand. You know, I'm just saying, that's not, you belong. There's a role that God has appointed for you. And I would say when you find your purpose and you're exercising what God has called you to do, there is nothing better. I'm not saying that. It's just, Paul is telling you belong, you're important. That's the second fill in the blank for today. You are loved and you are important to the body of Christ. You are loved and you are important to the body of Christ. See, every part of your body is important. I don't know if you recognize that. Your eyebrows are important, right? Help you keep the sun. I'm not going to say it. I got in trouble last time. I'm like, mm-mm. I'm not going to say nothing. Your eyelashes are important, right? Keep the dust out. Is that what and some of you guys, longer ones, it's good. Like, a lot of dust. That's the new thing. I'm sorry. I can't help myself today. I don't know. Too much caffeine. But your pinky, right? Your fingernails, little baby toe. Tell your baby toe is not important when you hit it against a kitchen table or something. You probably have a heart attack, huh? Your little baby, everything is important. God didn't make a mistake, right? This part of your earlobe that my brother has an even longer one. You know why it's there? Okay, it's there so that, yes, for earrings. I was like, for earrings, of course. Bling. Yeah. It's actually there to keep your ears warm. Especially some of you guys have like real soft ones, you know, like a big lobe. It's there to keep your ear warm. I don't know if you know that. Right? A lot of more blood flow. That makes sense? Your nose, right, to smell. Every part of the body is important. What Paul is telling us is, look, listen. Sometimes we'll go through life and say, like, man, I'm not important. Nobody sees me. That's a lie from the enemy. You are important to the body of Christ. You are loved and you are important to God. And you're needed in the body of Christ. Let's keep reading, because Paul then gives us a little a cliffhanger. I don't know if you guys know that. He says right there at the end of 30, the second half is, actually, sorry, 31. It says, now eagerly desire these gifts. But I don't know if you notice it continues on, right? Because my Bible says love is indispensable. There's two portions of it. 31b says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Does your Bible break that up too? Right? And sometimes if you were going through that, you might miss it because everybody's very familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, yeah? 1 Corinthians 13. I looked at my brother Jesse's Bible, and there's a picture of Valeria right next to it. Right? He's like, oh, man, 1 Corinthians 13, my babe right here. In fact, all you guys, spouses, you should have yours right there too. Yeah. See, Jesse, I got you. Because oftentimes we think that like 1 Corinthians 13 is like, it's just there, it's hanging out. What did we just read about? Paul is describing the what? The unity in the body. So 13, guess what? You guys are the smartest church, and it comes after 12. Right? And so 13 is directly tied as a reference, and yes, it's about relationships, but it's directly tied to what he just talked about in chapter 12, because he tells us right there, he says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And he continues, 13:1. If I speak in tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, do not have love, I gain nothing. He continues to say, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Let's read verse 8 together. Love never fails. Where are prophecies, right? They will cease, there will be tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. I'll keep reading here. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I became a man. I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection in the mirror, but we shall see it face to face. Now I know in part, and I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. And now these three things remain. Now let's read 13 together. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen? Amen. So what's Paul talking about? He's talking about the third fill in the blank in today's message. That love is the most excellent way for the church to demonstrate unity and God's love to the world. Love is the most excellent way for the church to demonstrate unity and God's love to the world. Why do we see that? Again, he starts off by listing all the different spiritual gifts. He says, if I have all these gifts, right? If I can speak in tongues, but I don't have love, I'm a resounding gong or a cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy, right? But I don't have love, and I have faith that abounds, but I have no love, I am nothing. You've heard me say this before, right? How do we know? I would say, some people, if you go through to like your favorite restaurant, for example, you say, oh, I love that place. Give me some favorite restaurants here. Maybe the back table there. What's your favorite restaurant? Olive Garden. Okay. The breadsticks are good. Okay. What's that? Michelangelo's? Never been. Where's that? Downtown Clovis. You're going to have to take me, brother. There you go. See what I'm doing here? I'm like, okay, when are we going? When's the invitation coming? I see you. Okay. Over here. I want to go somewhere different. Favorite restaurants on this side of the room over here? Sam's Italian doesn't work. Yeah, good choice. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Chuck E. Cheese. My son in the back says, Chuck E. Cheese. All right. Now, you have that kind of thing where it's just like the world says, man, I love this, right? I love that place, or I love this kind of. What Paul is talking about is something different. That makes sense? Paul is talking about the way that we demonstrate unity through God's love. Because those are things that, you know, if you're honest, those are things that you really like. Because I always say, listen, when it comes to the things that you just absolutely cannot live without, we start to eliminate some of those things that you think that you love. What are some of the things that you can't live without? Yeah, see? Right here in the second row, he says, my wife. I love her. I can't live without her. She's God's gift to me, right? She's my Galatians 3:20. Right? Greater than what I get for Ephesians 3:20? Yeah, she corrected me, see? That's good. Keep me honest, sister. When we start to think about the things that we really love, right? You'll start to see that the other stuff is things that we really like. We start to realize the things that really matter in this life. And we're here in church. It should be our love for God and our love for each other, our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, right? Those are the things that we really, at the end of the day, we love. Because when we go to a funeral, people don't talk about like, oh man, I used to love his car. He had the best car. I loved their couch. I didn't love the things that you think are like your most prized possession, right? Your car, your house, your backyard. Nobody ever cares about those things. They always say things about what? It's a relationship thing and how they impacted your life. And so we might like certain things. What we're reminded of are the things that we love, right? That's what Paul is describing. He's talking about relationships. Have you heard me say this before? The world will say, oh, I love this and I love that. I said, well, have you ever suffered for it? Like to the point of like your heart is breaking? Then you don't really love that thing. Challenge to, and the parents here in the room will know this best. At the same time, those of us who have been in relationships for a long time will know it best, is that you haven't really loved anything until you have absolutely suffered for it. And I don't mean that because we're narcissists. I just mean we're being real. It's going to cost you something, right? Oftentimes, it's our own selfishness. It's going to cost us time. It's going to cost us the things that moving beyond our comfort zone. It's going to require compromise and being selfless, right? But when you do that, what do you receive in return? Isn't it amazing for somebody to see you and to know you, your flaws and all, and say, listen, I love you, right? No matter what, through thick and thin, and high water, the same way I love you. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't it feel good to be loved like that? Now, when God sees us, he says, I love you like that. All your imperfections and all your flaws, and I don't care about your sin past, and I don't care about that. I see you and I love you. And that's what Paul is talking about. See, that God is a God of relationship. He's not a God of religion. He sent his son, and I would say, how do you know that it cost you something? Your salvation didn't come free. It came at a cost. It came at a cost to the Father. It came at a cost to Jesus. And so when I say that, when I say, well, you know what it's going to cost for you to show somebody that you love them? It's the same way that Jesus loves us. But when we surrender that part of ourselves, right? When we give ourselves fully to Jesus Christ, you get Jesus Christ. And God is good. And that's what he's inviting us into. That's what he's describing for us. The love is all those things. But remember, he's talking to a group of people. He says, you know what it's going to take for you to have that kind of unity? It's going to take for you to love each other. Not just when it's convenient for you. Not just if you feel like showing up. Not just if you're not tired. Is that making sense? Are you connecting the dots here? It's going to cost you something to be a part of the church family. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. You're going to have to invest in people. You're going to have to roll up your sleeves, and it's okay. Listen, This is the place where we have to be real. Like, you have problems. I'm going to be real honest with you here. Your family has problems like my family has problems, but God is good. Amen? And we need each other to speak life and to pray for one another. Right? If not, we're just putting on a show. It's just all like, this is a good thing. I felt good. I felt encouraged. No, this is the place where we stand in the gap and we have to love each other like that. Right? And so it's going to cost you something for you to love the church. But Jesus, but Paul is telling us, he said, like, listen, you do all these things, but let me tell you, right? The love is patient, kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's a verse that's often used in weddings, and it needs to be. But it's a message to the church. Because Jesus also gives us another challenge, and it's in verse, not a challenge, it's called, when he says, right, he gives you a new commandment. You guys are pretty familiar with this. And if you turn your Bibles, if you look on the screen, it's John 13, verses 34 to 35. After the Passover, when Jesus washes the disciples' feet, you guys remember this, he humbles himself to do what a servant would normally do, to wash his disciples' feet. You guys remember that passage? And he gives them this challenge and this instruction. He tells them, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that's the fourth point in today's message. Our love for one another shows that we are true followers of Christ. We are true followers of Christ. Not just when it's convenient for you. Not when it's just easy. But when you really need to be there for the body of Christ, that's when you need to show up. And I mean this, right? And so Jesus was saying, he's like, listen, as I have loved you. And he's talking about in humility, in service. He had just washed the feet of even the disciple that was going to betray him. And then he went to the cross. He says, as I have loved you, you need to sacrifice for each other. You need to love in this way. Why? Because then they'll really know that you're my disciples. Not just that you wear the jersey. Oftentimes you see a lot of people wearing the Jesus jersey, but they're acting, giving Jesus a bad name. Take the bumper sticker off. You're cutting people off and giving them the finger. No. Right? Not just when it's convenient, when we think it's like, oh, but what to love. To have, I always say that we there's a song, I think it's Hosanna, right? Just break my heart for what breaks yours. What breaks God's heart? And that's where we have to show up and love each other in that way. And that shows that we're truly a follower of Jesus Christ. Because listen, Jesus didn't give his life for the church because he thought it was like, oh, I think it's going to be okay. It'll be like a little cool club. It's a place where God gave, he gave his life and he loved the church, right? Because it was the best description. It's like God's plan A. You guys have heard this for the world, right? Place where you belong. It's a place where you can hear the word and be encouraged, where you can have fellowship. Because the world will tell you, you don't fit in, you're an outcast. And here is a place where we all need to belong, right? We do belong to the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But he didn't give his life for religion. He gave his life for relationship. When I said it earlier, right? What do you love? You might like different things. You might have a favorite restaurant. But when it comes to the things that you really love, you love, it's about relationship. It's about people. And so as a church body, what God wants us to do, right, is he wants us to love him. And you guys know this, love people. It's the cross. Vertically, right? You have to be right with God this way so that you can love people this way. If your vertical is not right, you have a hard time loving people. That makes sense? Your vertical, meaning me and God, right? Because you know what happens when you start looking this way and this way, you start to lose your way. And you start, it's about the laws and the legality and all this other stuff that gets us into trouble as people. And it stops being about what God says and who He is and the overflow of mercy and compassion that we need to show to each other. And that's why Jesus says, listen, as I have loved you, you must love one another. And by this one, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Amen. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be continuing on, right, in the sermon series. And the things that we're going to be talking about is how we show love for the church by connecting to the church. We show love by serving the church. We show love by giving. Right? And that's like, oh, really? You're going to talk about not even anything to do with money, so calm down. As soon as I say giving, people like put their hand on their wallet. People put their purse like, you've heard me say this before. Listen, God doesn't need your money. I'll say this. This church doesn't need your money. This is the place where you get to invest in the kingdom. Right? And if you're thinking about it, and if you're thinking that you're ever going to hear me, like, I'm going to hit you up. It's like, hey, you here? Or I'm over there with the camera on the tithing box. Hey, who's putting that? Hey, write that name down. I didn't see. We have to have a God view. God owns everything, right? When we talk about giving, we're not even going to talk about money. We're going to talk about giving of our time, of our talents, of how you contribute to the church body. Make sense? And we're going to talk about love by sharing. You've got to share, right? Because you have this gift. You have this relationship with God. Don't you want to share that? Don't you want to post that on your, like, hey, look at me. I'm in love with God. Don't keep it a secret. God isn't your mistress. Ooh, that was terrible. It came out wrong. You don't want to. God isn't your side dish. Can I say that? God is your main thing, your main everything. You know what I mean? That came out all wrong. Sorry, guys. But you know what I was talking about. Don't keep it a secret, man. You love God. Let people know. Share the goodness of God. Amen? All right. That was better. So I hope that you continue, right? 4 weeks. We're not asking that much. We belong to the body of Christ, right? We're not perfect, but we love Jesus here. Our mission is very simple. Our vision is very simple, right? Simple. And it starts by showing up first and foremost and finding out who Jesus is and finding out gifts and talents and abilities that Jesus has, Holy Spirit has given you. Exercising that, I would say, man, you're walking in your purpose for God. There's nothing that is better. Amen? So I'm going to, as part of the campaign and as part of our 2-year anniversary, the church bought shirts for. This is your home church, then you know you're accounted for. If you're visiting the first time, keep coming for 4 weeks and then you'll get one. How about that? That's how we, I don't mean to put any pressure on you, but we put the I Heart C3, right? I know it's like the I Love New York, but it's we figured it was kind of catchy, so I Heart C3. And in the back it has the little logo, right? So we'll be passing these out at the end of church. Right, and so come see Stephanie, and we have our family potluck after the evening at 6:30. I keep saying 6:30. Feel free to wear it; it'd be kind of cool to see these together, right? But it's just a little token of appreciation from us to you guys, and it aligns with the campaign or the church, the series that we're on, which is I Love My Church, so I Heart C3. Cool. All right, hope you guys enjoy it. All right. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy, Lord God. Thank you that you give us such clear instruction on how you want us to love the church, how you want us to remember that we're all important, and we'll have unity through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the best way that we can show that that you are real, and you even tell us this, Lord God, in your closing prayer, Lord Jesus, is that they will know that the Father was sent to you by the unity of the church. Not by how good we sing worship, or how by the unity of the church, they will know that you were sent by the Father. Father God, thank you again, Lord, for just your faithfulness, Lord, to this church over the last 2 years. Father God, forgive us, Lord God. We fall short of your glory every day. We're not perfect. We're very flawed as human beings. So continue, Lord God, to show us mercy and help us to show mercy to each other. If we've let each other down or if we've hurt people, Lord God, help us to talk about it. Help us to pray about it, Lord God. You know our hearts. You came, Lord God. You left the right hand of the Father, Lord God, to give your life and surrender it on the cross, Lord God, because you love us. So this morning, if there's somebody that doesn't know who you are, or that has not surrendered their life to you, very simple to follow along in a prayer. It's an invitation. Jesus is waiting. The Father is waiting. The Holy Spirit is waiting. If the Holy Spirit's been prompting your heart this morning to receive Jesus, you have fallen in a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are, that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, that you are raised from the dead, and that you are seated at the right hand of the Father. Help me to live for you from this day forward. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to turn away from things that have been holding me back from knowing the truth about who you are. Help me to get connected and plugged into a church that knows you, that wants to encourage me on my walk with you, Lord Jesus. I pray that prayer for the first time this morning. Come see me after service. Which body want to come alongside you, to love you, to encourage you on your journey, to the best of our abilities. But God is the one that sustains, the Holy Spirit that sustains our love for God. He does it all in a way. And he also sustains us in our walk, coming to live inside us. Spirit. Father God, thank you again for who you are. I can never stop saying enough, Lord God. You're an amazing and awesome God. Lord God, I'm excited for what you're doing in the life of the church and what you're going to do. Continue to bring the increase, Lord God. Father God, I just pray again, Lord. Whoever gathered with this group of people, there's people that are going through some heartache, some pain, some relationship issues, Lord, some challenges, Lord. Help us to seek you out. Help us to seek each other out. Help us to stand in the gap. And Lord, thank you again for who you are, Lord. Continue to work and minister to all of our hearts, Lord God. Help us to, again, serve you to the fullest, Lord God, in this church by loving you and loving other people. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.